Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Here we are at the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday. Glad you're with us tonight. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. We'll get to Tony Baselli in Foxborough, Massachusetts, coming up for Thursday Night Football. He'll have the call on Westwood One this evening. We're right after the Gus Bradley radio program. What's up, Logs?
What's happening, JP?
Oh, you know, a little ball. A little Week 3 football coming up. Jaguars and the Ravens. You know, the game presented by the Hananiah Automotive Group this Sunday.
We were kind of having fun because, you know, when we make the switch from the Gus Bradley show to Jaguars Thursday,
yes,
you're not a swing tackle. And let me explain this to people, okay? And for those that are watching on Jaguars.com.
You left your phone over on my side,
thank
by
you.
The way.
Yeah. That's my side for the Gus Bradley show. Okay, and why you have to have that side for Jaguars Thursday is beyond me.
Well, the right side of my – we're on video now on Jaguars.com, by the way. So my right side is probably my better side. And I feel like if I'm – my profile, if I'm looking at you, I don't know. I was just told to sit over here. I'm just following orders, man.
I just want you to think for a minute. If Baselli was here to hear you say that about my right side is my better side, how do you think that he would react?
I don't care. That's whatever.
I'm trying to see. Let me try to do my best Baselli impersonation.
I mean,
it's all.
Oh, since when do you have a good side?
It's all relative to what's here, right? I mean, come on. Let's get real. So we'll get to Tony coming up. Jags trying to circle the wagons this week, if you will. Is it, Logs, is it too early for a must-win game? Do you believe in that?
I don't know if any. I mean, because you know what? Here's the deal. And I know this is not probable. Let's say you lose this game.
Right.
Okay, then you rip off 10 in a row. Was week three a must-win game that you lost if you rip off 10 in a row? So, no, but it's a very important game. And I think it's an important game for a couple different reasons. One is to get this team back to being what it's capable of being, first and foremost. The reality is right now they're not a good football team. Okay, you are what you are. You know, Bill Parcells was probably one of the ones that had that line that was probably used better than anybody, and I think part of it was just the way that he talked about it, the way he used his body language and his voice inflection. He said, you are what you are. And right now this football team is not good, and they need to establish that they can be good and get confidence in their game and start to execute, and execute in all phases, whether it be the mental aspect, the physical aspect, the coaching aspect, all of it needs to be better. Because the reason I say that this is an important game, you don't want to go to London, okay, at 0-3 and getting ready to face the Indianapolis Colts in a division game for two reasons. For one, you just don't want that to happen. Number two, you don't want that to happen because you know what? You've worked hard to establish some type of presence in the London market.
No doubt. Yeah.
And you don't want to go there at 0-3. That's not good for business.
And it's been like that the last 3 years. The record has not been ideal going into the London game.
And this is the earliest that the team has gone out there.
Right.
But it's not good for business to go there at 0-3. So this is a very important game for a lot of reasons. And also because this Ravens football team, they're 2-0, okay? They're at the top of their division. They're tied with Pittsburgh. But are they that good? No. Are they a good team? Yes, because they're 2-0.
They are what the record is.
They are what they are.
Yeah.
Well, they played Buffalo and they've played Cleveland. The game that probably impressed me the most was the game in Cleveland in which they were able to come back from a 20-point deficit, which is very impressive.
Yeah.
Because the Jaguars were at a 21-point deficit and didn't do anything with it in San Diego. The Ravens were down 20 against the Cleveland Browns and were able to come back and win it. And it all started on a blocked extra point.
Yeah. You thought the Jaguars' perspective of that, maybe the sack fumble by Ngakoue could have sparked something.
That's
at 21-0, but it just
didn't
happen, right?
You were hoping that something would come of that.
Yeah.
Something. You know, and to be honest with you, JP, it would have been nice if you – stayed onside on the fourth and one, and as the defense, San Diego burns a timeout. Yeah. They send a field goal unit out. They go up 17-0 instead of it being 21-0. And then all of a sudden, maybe you can make something happen there offensively. Maybe. I mean, the way the things went, you know, maybe not. But you wanted to see some type of response, just like you did against the Green Bay Packers. You saw a response, and it was an early response. There was no response in this game whatsoever.
Let's go to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Thursday night football, the Houston Texans and the New England Patriots. And on the Westwood One radio call tonight as analyst is our Tony Baselli. What's up, Tony? Tony, are you there?
I'm here.
There you are. What's
up? I can hear you.
I hear you now. How's Foxborough?
Well, it's the right time to be in Foxborough because it's beautiful weather. It's not cold at all, and another perfect night of football up here.
We were just talking about.
Hold on. Before we get another. Hey, Tony.
Okay.
I had to do my Tony Baselli impression just a minute ago.
Oh, what'd you do?
Well, JP, you know, we had this discussion about why he wants to sit on that side of the table and why I have to move after the Gus Bradley show
it's
to the other side.
It's intriguing radio.
Okay. And he says that, you know, since we're on TV now or the web, that my right side is my better side. And I said to myself, I said, if Tony Baselli were here, I said something, but I want you to respond to that to see if I'm close.
I would have said you don't have a good side.
Hey, you got it. All right. I said relative to what is what I said to him. That's okay.
I hit it on the head, Tony.
Well done.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's not hard. I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out what I'm going to say to JP on most days.
That's actually true. I know what to expect. So let's go Jaguars now. Me and Logs here, Tony, I asked him, is this a must-win game or as close as it gets in September?
Yeah. I mean, 100%. I was listening to you guys before I came on, and Jeff – hit the nail on the head. It is a must win for a lot of different reasons. The London issue, the expectations coming into the season. You got a division opponent next week. You don't want to be 0-3 no matter what the situation is. You're coming off a terrible loss where you, in my opinion, played the worst game of the Gus Bradley era. I mean, that was the biggest disappointment that I've seen out of this team because it's a talented team. And the errors that were made and the way they came out from the start and the way they responded to adversity. And so you have a really bad taste in your mouth, and you're getting to a point now where you're playing a team in Baltimore that you should – at home that you should beat. And so you have to win. And so for all those reasons, it is a must-win.
Tony, going through the injury report, we'll go through the whole injury report a little later, but all of a sudden – Beecham hasn't practiced yet. That's not sounding good. Brandon Linder
up. He's not playing.
Right.
I mean, there's no way Beach is playing.
So you've got questions on the left side of the line.
Did you hear about Linder?
And then Linder shows up on the report today. That's not ideal.
I didn't like getting on Twitter, and as I was going through my timeline, seeing Brandon Linder out from practice with a knee sprain. And then afterwards, Gus saying, as I'm sure you guys have talked about, you know, he's day-to-day. And when your best offensive lineman is hurt, it's never good. And especially when you're going into a situation that we just talked about, that coupled with most likely, and unless something miraculous happens, you're going to be out with your starting left tackle. Now all of a sudden, an offensive line that is protected well, pass protection has been pretty good, but hasn't run blocked very well at all. And now you're going to be without your best offensive lineman, your left tackle, or possibly your best offensive lineman, and Brandon Linder, and your left tackle. It makes it tougher, makes it tough sledding. And so it's not what you want to hear on a Thursday afternoon.
No, you could potentially be with three new starters from center to left tackle. You know, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's the potential lineup changes that could happen in this week's ball game. You know, because, you know, Jokel's switching from left guard to left tackle, so really all three are going to be different.
Yeah. So, and then two guys who'd never started in the league at center and left guard,
well,
possibly.
And here's the reason why that hurts so much. And, Tony, you can agree or disagree. The Baltimore Ravens are very good up the middle. Brandon Williams at nose tackle, probably one of the most underrated nose tackles in the game. And then C.J. Mosley, who's not underrated. I mean, he made the Pro Bowl as a rookie coming out of the University of Alabama. Roll Tide, JP.
Roll Tide.
So, I mean, and last week, Tony, watching the Chargers game, the blocks at getting to the second level, they were not very effective. You know, so if you don't have Linder and you got changes at left guard and left tackle, that ain't going to make it any easier.
No, I mean, for all the reasons you said, communication, new positions, no, you know, lack of cohesion and everything else. And in the run game, Jeff, you're exactly right. I mean, they struggled in the combination blocks of not only getting to the next level, but watching the film, in my opinion, going to the not getting to the right linebacker. You had free runners in the holes. And so you would hope that you could watch the film and clean it up with the guys that you're playing with last week. But now with the musical chairs and potentially no Linder, which is the quarterback of that offensive line, it's going to put a premium on communication and getting everyone on the same page. And you're right, the Baltimore Ravens, while I don't think they're not the Ravens of old, they're still very well coached. They play very hard. They're very physical. And in the interior, that front seven is strong. And so the challenge is big because I think we all agree for this team, this offense, to be efficient and to play the type of football that it needs to consistently win, they have to run the ball. They have to run it better than they have. They haven't cracked the 100-yard mark in two games. And they need to be efficient. They need to be effective on first down because there's too many second and tens and third and longs right now for this ball to overcome and be consistently on the field and sustain long drives.
You know, let me add something to Tony talked about. They haven't broken the 100-yard mark in two games.
Yes.
If you take Blake Bortles' rushing numbers out of the equation.
Oh, boy.
They have not surpassed the 100-yard rushing mark in two games combined.
All together.
Right.
Yes.
That's not good.
No.
No, that's awful.
No, that's not good at all. Chris Ivory might be back in the equation, practiced full today, but with all this stuff up front, and that's where it all begins and ends is up front. Ivory, no Ivory, does that matter at all to you guys?
Yes.
It does.
Yeah. I mean, give me a physical runner, you know. And I think Chris Ivory improves his football team past what his performance is. The reason I say that is that there are some players that when your teammates watch, that when they watch Chris Ivory, I think it gives them energy.
A little juice.
I think it does. And yeah. I think that, you know, Tony, if you're blocking for a guy that runs like Chris Ivory or a guy like Fred Taylor, who you know – if you give him a little crack, he could go the distance. When you're blocking for guys like that, the guys that run with heart or that have the potential to break a big one on any given play, I think it just it makes everybody else have positive energy and finish things, hold their blocks a little bit longer because they know what the potential is.
Well, not only that, and you're right, Jeff, but it's the run game a lot of times is about momentum and on both sides. You know, you get as an offensive lineman and you get some nice runs early and you start, you know, getting a little bit of a crease here or there, and then you have a back that's hitting the hole and breaking tackles and making guys miss and getting to the next level and maybe creating a little bit more than that's already there. That builds, and it builds the confidence and the psyche on the offensive side of the ball, but also defensively. And I've been out there, Jeff, you've been on that side, I know, that all of a sudden the team's running the ball against you a little bit and they have some success and it keeps on going. That takes a little bit of the wind out of the sails of that defense. And I thought we saw that last week out of our defense against the San Diego Chargers. They had some early success, got the defense on the heels a little bit, and the run game has a way of snowballing. And I think Chris Ivory does help that.
Calling all Jacksonville runners. Don't miss the Stash Dash 5K at Everbank Field Saturday, October 15th. Registration
includes... You want a
rematch,
JP?
No, I don't. I'm out. I'm going to tap out on that one. Registration includes race entry and a ticket to the Jags-Raiders game. Sign up today at jaguars.com/stash-dash. Back in a moment. We'll talk Jags defense and preview the Thursday night game with Buscelli in Foxborough. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Two times a year for 4 years, You know, I got plenty of notebook notes on Joe Flacco and these guys. So, you know, I respect him. I respect Steve Smith Sr. And, you know, I respect the Ravens offense. So I definitely think that it's going to be an exciting opportunity. But at the same time that I know how to operate in, against this offense. This is the same offense I've been playing for the past 3 years. So, like I said, I'm excited to see AFC North opponent come down here to do well.
There's your free safety, Tashawn Gibson, in the locker room earlier this week. Jaguars Thursday continues. Ravens Jaguars this Sunday, presented by the Hanania Automotive Group. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, and Tony Vaselli's on the line with us in Foxborough, Massachusetts. You might hear Tashawn Gibson's name a little more. This is an offense, guys, in Baltimore that is not scared to throw it up on from time to time and throw it down the field.
If there was ever a game that the reason that they got a Gibson in free agency, I mean, this is the type of game. Because you've got a legitimate deep threat in Mike Wallace. He can still run. He's not as young as he used to be, but he can still go. Steve Smith Sr., I don't know how fast he is anymore, but he's crafty.
He's crafty.
Yeah, he's crafty, and he's super competitive. You know, so
he says he's still a dirtbag and talks trash.
I saw that. that was awesome. So, you know, yeah, this is the type of game that you want Tashawn Gibson to kind of show his worth.
Well, you know what you want more than anything, Jeff? Is guys all running the same coverage.
Start with that, huh?
In the secondary.
Go ahead and explain that.
Well, listen, watching the tape, and Jeff and I sat next to each other on the long flight home, and there was multiple times we were looking and pointing at each other's iPads and just shaking our heads because a lot of the issues last week and in so much, you know, we've heard about this week, and it's, you know, killing the coaching staff and fire this person and fire that person. And listen, everyone's to blame. And so coaches, players, everyone has a piece of the pie here. But when it's hard to design defenses or design anything in football if everyone's not on the same page and doing their job. If you remember back, you know, when Gus first got the job in Jacksonville, the, you know, his quote, you know, of him screaming on the sidelines at Seattle of do your job. And it's critical because a couple of the touchdowns and the one long run on the third long of the crossing route to the San Diego Chargers receiver, there was a blown assignment. Dwayne Grotz is running man coverage and the rest of the defense is running cover three. And so there's people out of position, and when you aren't on the same page and when you're not doing your job, you're going to have blown assignments and big plays happen. And I think that happened multiple times. There were just mental errors, and that can't not happen, especially in a system that Gus and Todd Walsh, the defensive coordinator, their philosophy is to simplify things and to make it simple so guys can play fast and not think too much and be in the right position. You can't have those. You can't have those errors. This game is hard enough to play, and it's hard enough to win on Sundays by doing your job and doing it right. And when you have stuff like that, to me, and I don't know how you feel about it, Jeff, but it's inexcusable. There is no excuse for that, in my opinion.
No, I would agree, and the reason I say I would agree is that we're not talking about a rookie here, and we're not talking about a complex coverage. We're talking about a coverage that's put in day one, you know, and just the lack of awareness of what it was. I mean, to me, you know, that can't happen, and you know, simple fact is if it happens again, it'd be time to sit them down and play somebody else. Pretty simple.
Well, and we talked about the offensive line guys.
Yeah.
With Linder and the issues at center and Kelvin Beachum and all the different things there. There's issues in the secondary. You know, Prince, you know, Gus coming out today, at least the last thing I read is it doesn't look like he's going to be up with that hamstring or, it's, you know, he's not doing recovering as fast. And then Devon House, if I read correctly, a little hammy as well. Right. He looks more likely to play. But there's two of your – you know, three start nickel out of your nickel package.
And yeah, that's so it
creates
the
more
thing,
issues.
You don't have Aaron Colvin. Right. You know, he's serving the NFL suspension. He won't be available until, what, after the London
game. It'll be week six.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have a lot of flexibility right now because of injury and because of the situation with Aaron Colvin. So it kind of is what it is. Now you just got to get him to be better.
Then there's the old stop the run part of the defense, guys. They didn't do much of that. Well, I guess there were three really explosive runs. Other than that, Todd Walsh said earlier this week, defensive coordinator, that they were relatively happy with what they did, except for those three or four plays.
Well, wait, can I say something there real quick, Jeff?
Yeah.
Because I respect Todd, and Todd's a great coach. but it's not just Todd, but all Todd Walsh, but all coaches who say, yeah, but these three plays, but those three plays count.
And he said that too. He did say
those three plays count. And yeah. I'll go back to the very beginning of the game, the first series, where six of the eight plays were running plays, and they marched down like it was no problem and ran the ball down the field and scored a touchdown.
Yep.
And so I have to disagree a little bit. I don't think it was just three plays.
Yeah, and I disagree because I don't want to hear that mentioned.
Right. It was part of the totals. So
you
there
know,
you go. Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the deal. Game. And it is what it is, you know. So you know, that has to be fixed. You know, and here's I think the part that makes it harder to kind of stomach. You know, this defense is about Cyprian's in the box. You know, so you've got eight guys in the box. I mean, this defense, and they've said it before, this defense is designed to stop the run. That's what it believes. With eight guys in the box, you have outnumbered the offense. And for the opponent to be able to have that kind of a success when you're outnumbering them, it's not good enough. That's
Jeff,
not good enough.
Jeff, because you know defense as well as anyone I know, but watching that tape, it looked like, because there is eight men in the box most of the time, but it looked like the run fits and the gap control, there was some violations in that area.
There's violations, but it's all, and I said this, I think, earlier with Gus, and we talked about this a little bit, about how you can't, you know, because when people ask you what was wrong with the run defense, you can't point your finger and say it was this guy. You know, it was this guy on that play, and it was this guy on the other play, and this guy
that's
over
right.
here on the other play, and then this guy over here on the other play. Mm-hmm. It's you know, that's you can't have that many areas to point at, you know, in a game. And I think that, you know, we kind of expected a little bit of a growth process with this defense. We expected that. But we kind of expected that to be more in, against the pass. Because, you know, stopping the run's kind of a mindset. And playing against the pass is, you know, you got to rush the passer and it's ability to play coverage. So I thought that they would be better against the run than they've been in the first 2 weeks. I kind of expected them to struggle against the pass a little bit.
Jared Odrick is on the injury report. Triceps injury sounds like that's kind of a day-to-day situation too. And, you know, knowing him, he's going to want to be out there, and we'll see how the rest of the week goes. But if he doesn't go, Alo-Alo could be up for the first time.
All right, I'm going to say this here because I, you know, from watching the tape, look, Odrick had his little meltdown on the field. Okay, it happened. I thought Avery Jones was more productive than Jared Odrick in that game. Okay, I'm not saying overall that he would be a better player. I'm just saying in that game, I thought that Avery Jones was more productive because he had to play the 4B for a couple reasons. One, when Odrick kind of lost his mind. Also, when Odrick got hurt early in that game and then right. Avery Jones had to step in as the 4B or the strong side defensive end, I think he played better than Odrick in that game.
I'd agree with Jeff. And I mean, exactly what he said as far as how Avery played. I don't think, you know, it was anyone's best game. Obviously, you want Jared Odrick up. He's a good football player. He's good against the run. He gives you a little something at three technique, the defensive tackle in the pass. But if he can't play, I have confidence in Avery. I think Avery, a guy who was undrafted a few years ago out of Georgia, has done a very nice job and is a productive player.
He's a valuable player on this roster.
Yeah,
he really is
a solid guy, especially against the run. Doesn't have a lot of pass rush, can push the pocket, but against the run, I would feel confident in him having to play that 4B position.
Yeah, and let me also add that, look, you know, Odrick got hurt early in that game.
It was like the first drive, right?
And, you know, on the injury report, it's a tricep, so – you know, when I say that Avery Jones played better than Odrick, you know, part of that was because Odrick was hurt, you know.
That's right.
He toughed it out, and he continued to play, you know. But I'm confident in Avery Jones if he has to play that, or if it's Sendarek Marks that has to kick out to the 4B.
Yeah.
You know, Sheldon Day can play that. You know, that's, you know, we talk about injuries. You know, if there's one position group that you could say, okay, well, if we get an injury, where would they be okay at? And it's probably – in that strong side defensive end, defensive tackle positions, you know, because you got a lot of depth there.
Right. Hey, Jeff, do you worry a little bit about if Sheldon Day has to go over out there to get of getting a little bit overwhelmed? I like him better at the three technique because I think he's a better one-gap player.
Yeah, he's a better penetrator. I'd rather see him as a penetrator because I think it suits, you know, his skill set a little bit better.
I'd rather have
Avery or Senderic as the 4B.
We like to have that option maybe if he's called to go out there, he's not totally –
No, he could do it.
He could do it if he had a
pitch. No, he could do it, but
right?
that's not your first choice.
Yeah, it's not the best thing for him.
We'll come back in a moment. And, Tony, you're staying with us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I can stay up to about 740, 743, right around there.
Oh, hey, well, we'll keep you the whole time then. We'll come back and go through the entire injury report, a little more on Ravens-Jaguars coming up. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand-new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today. Your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
I was mad at the series of bad events that was happening to me and my team. I was angry that I felt like I couldn't fully contribute with my arm. I was angry that I didn't know at that point in the first series. I thought I tore my tricep. So I was angry at that. I was angry I had to have a brace. I was angry I wasn't able to lock out with that arm. I was angry that the technician didn't show up for 20 minutes and I missed the first half. And I was angry that, you know, that they were beating us by so much. I was angry that the tight end flinched and they called me on offsides. I was angry at all of that.
There's Jared Odrick in the locker room. You think he was angry?
He's angry.
Sounded like he might have been angry. Jaguars Thursday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli is with us from Foxborough, Massachusetts. We'll get to the injury report. Then we'll talk tonight's game. We haven't talked Thursday night football yet, the Texans and the Patriots. So the Jaguars injury report, four of the players listed yesterday were full today, including Allen Robinson with an illness. Gus Bradley said it was a strep throat type of thing. He was back full today. Chris Ivory, full today. Good news.
Allen Robinson was a flu thing.
Was it flu, he said?
Flu.
Okay, it was a flu. Chris Ivory, full. Jonathan Cyprian, knee/triceps, full today. Jeremy Parnell back full after the groin injury. He's been battling the last week or so. Did not practice today. Prince Amukamara with a hamstring injury. As we said earlier, that sounds like not pretty good for this week. Devon House sounds better. He did not practice today with a hamstring, but signs are positive for him. Brandon Lindard, knee sprain, did not practice. Kelvin Beachum hasn't practiced all week. Jared Odrick, neither. He's been out all week with a triceps injury. And Ben Koyak, unfortunately, a meniscus tear, which will likely need surgery. He did not practice today, the tight end. So there's the Jaguars side. For the Ravens, a couple of notables. Elvis Dumervil limited today. Terrell Suggs, not injury-related, did not practice. Yanda on the offensive line, not injury-related, did not practice today either. So there you go.
Yeah, and then Dumervil, I would be shocked if he's ready to go. I mean, from what I read, he's basically doing individual periods and working his way back.
Okay.
So I would be very surprised if he's ready to go.
Well, we need a face mask out of him, like last year. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
That would be nice, right? Give you one on time play.
Let's do it.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that, guys.
No.
Let's hope. I mean, you know what I want to see Sunday? I want to see victory formation by the Jacksonville Jaguars with about a minute 40 left. And first down, minute 40, no timeouts left for the Baltimore Ravens and take three knees.
I'm with you.
That would be pretty nice. Let's talk Thursday night football. The Houston Texans and the New England Patriots. What do you got tonight, Tony? This is obviously Jacoby Brissett's making the start. Gronk is going to be back.
Who?
Yeah,
who?
Gronk's back. Gronk's active. Jimmy Garoppolo, even though the Patriots are trying to keep it on the down low, he will not play with the AC sprained joint in his right shoulder. So the rookie out of the former Florida Gator and then by way of North Carolina State, Jacoby Brissett, third round pick this year, is going to get the start for the New England Patriots. And it's, you know, watching this Patriot team and just following them and getting ready for this game, I already respected Bill Belichick and his coaching staff, but it's grown. It is amazing what they do and how they game plan, what they get out of their players and how guys perform, no matter who's in there. And even before, just watching them against the Dolphins in the first half before Garoppolo got hurt, if you watched it, you really had to pay attention to realize that Tom Brady was not in there. How efficient they were offensively and how the ball came out and how the route combination and what they were able to do. It's remarkable. So I'm really interested to see. What's the plan? What does Josh McDaniel and Bill Belichick let Jacoby Brissett do? Do they you know, hunker down and hand it to LeGarrette Blount 50 times, or do they keep on being the Patriots and spread him out and let him play ball? So,
Tony, I would not be surprised if Bill Belichick comes out and spreads it out and goes
I wouldn't either.
Three wides with Gronk split out and throws the ball all over the yard. I mean, that's Belichick. I mean, he has playbooks that he has on the shelf, and he goes and he picks one out and says, we're doing this week.
Right.
That's how kind of a coach he is, and that's why when you talk to coaches that go up against him, they said that's the difficult part about facing Bill Belichick. You don't know which playbook you're going to get.
Now, it'll be interesting this week because you're right, Jeff. There is a thought up here talking to people that they're going to spread him out and they're going to be exotic and do a lot of things, but just tell Jacoby Brissett, listen, you're only going to read half the field. And so it'll look complex, but they'll simplify it for him at the quarterback position. But he's going to have to do it against one of the best defenses I've seen so far this year on film.
I got a question for you, though, Tony. Jacoby Brissett. What kind of a quarterback is he? I mean, what does he show?
He didn't show much. He only threw the ball 9 times, 6 completions in the second half against the Dolphins, and 3 of the completions were screen passes. So he did not show a lot. They didn't let him do a lot last week. But he's 6'4", 235, Jeff. He is a pocket passer. He is a big, strong, physical guy. He has a huge arm. And so he is, you know, what if you were drawn up an NFL quarterback from as far as measurables, Jacoby Brissett would fit the profile. But you just got to wonder. He's a rookie. And against this Texans defense, they lead the league in sacks. And they don't even have, if you watch the tape, J.J. Watt is not the J.J. Watt that yet, at least. You can tell he's still coming back off that back. He doesn't move quite as well. He has a sack and a half, but they were cheap sacks. But the rest of the unit, Jadeveon Clowney's playing at a high level. Whitney Mercilus is rushing the passer as well as he did last year. John Simon, the other outside backer now, has 2.5 sacks. And their secondary, led by Kareem Jackson and Jonathan Joseph, is outstanding. It's a really good unit, and you turn on the tape, and they're tough.
All right, so I got a question about the Houston Texans offense. What has Brock Osweiler shown you?
Well, he looks good at times, but he is prone to make mistakes. He has 3 touchdowns but 3 interceptions, and they're not very good as an offense in the red zone. They were 0-for-4 last week against the Kansas City Chiefs with an interception by Brock Osweiler. But they are better because with Will Fuller, the fifth, on the outside, opposite of DeAndre Hopkins, you have to think about just rolling the coverage consistently to DeAndre Hopkins because Will Fuller can fly, and he'll run by you. And so you have 2 threats outside. The offensive line is not very good, and they can't get Lamar Miller going very well. He's only averaging 3.6 yards a carry. So it's a work in progress on that side. But they have time to work it out with that defense. The defense gives them a lot of room for error because they stop people, they sack quarterbacks, they get turnovers. They're a good unit. So the offense is better than it was last year with the talent they've acquired in the offseason, but it's still not the strength of this team. It's all about the defense.
Yeah, their center's out and left tackle's out. They've had some offensive line issues for sure. What time is your airtime tonight, Tony?
You know, we'll be on air at 8 p.m. sharp. We'll crack open the lines of communication on Westwood One, and excited. This is going to be a good game.
Yeah, I thought you were going to crack something else open.
No,
making a really good broadcast.
Yeah, I don't think they. I think they'd frown on that a little bit, Jeff. But I don't want to get fired tonight.
Yeah, bad idea, Tony.
Bad idea.
Have a fantastic call tonight on Westwood One, and we'll see you this weekend. How about it?
All right, see you guys bright and early Sunday morning.
There he is, Tony Boselli, Westwood One analyst from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Can I eat my pizza now?
Oh, yeah. You've got dinner here, huh?
I got, well, kind of. It's not really. It's a snack.
Okay, little snack.
It's a whole meal.
Yeah, well, let's get to the break. You can have the rest of your pizza.
Well, send it to a break, would you?
Okay, I will. Right now, the JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name. The Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank this Sunday when the Jags host the Ravens. presented by Hanania Automotive Group. We'll pick some games. I dominated Logs last week. We'll do it after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
You know, I saw the clock running down. Saw we got it off. I didn't really know what happened for a split second there. And then saw the flag down. And then I don't really know what happened after that. But then, you know, they're like, okay, we got one more time down. One time down. Let's kick it. And then, you know, from then on, it's, you know, then they called the timeout. I was focused on the moment, and, you know, everything worked out.
There's Jason Myers. He had the game winner last year in Baltimore, 53 yards on the untimed down, recounting some of that earlier this week. Jaguars Thursday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. We just heard from Tony Baselli in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
That was a crazy game last year.
I don't know if I've seen one crazier ending than that, in that kind of way, with the penalty, the untimed down, and the we've seen some crazy college endings, but in the NFL especially, an ending like that, come on.
Yeah, and the league came out the next week and said that the play should have never have been allowed. It should have been blown dead.
Because they weren't set, right?
Multiple Jaguar offensive players that were not set for the formation. You know, but you can't change it, you know, so it is what it is, and it's not like that game would have made a difference one way or the other for either team. You know, the Ravens won 5, and so if they get that game, they win 6. Jaguars won 5, they would have won 4. You know, so it is what it is.
There might have been a spot or two in the draft stuff, maybe at the end of the year. That's about it.
But no, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah. But it's certainly, you know, if it was in December and playoff hopes and everything else was riding on that play, then that's a major, major screw-up by the officials. But it wasn't.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it went in favor of the good guys. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. And this Sunday's Ravens-Jaguars game is presented by the Hanania Automotive Group.
I love the Ravens organization.
Yeah.
I think that they have been doing it right for a long time. They're one of the, I think, top, five or six most successful franchises in the National Football League. They've got a general manager in Ozzie Newsome, who is a Hall of Famer as a player and should be, if he's not, should be a Hall of Famer for how his personnel decisions have guided that team for a number of years to great success.
But recently, though, since the last couple of years have not been really ideal around there.
Right? No, they haven't. And Ozzie's been the first one to admit that they need to hit on some more of their earlier picks than what they've been able to do. But, look, drafting is not an exact science, and you can't get it right every time. You just hope that the percentages are in your favor and you're not making, you know, as many mistakes as others are. And I don't doubt for a minute that Ozzie will be back. He also has a second in command underneath of him that has been, I think it's Eric DaCosta, if I remember correctly, who has been offered many jobs around the league and has turned every one of them down.
Hmm.
And I think the owner, Steve Biscotti, has every time that, you know, some of that door's kind of come knocking, that he's responded and has probably upped the pay grade a little bit. But it also, I think that kind of reflects well on them as an organization, and that it's never about, okay, who gets credit or who gets paid. It's about being the best that we can be. And that's, hey, look, That's a tough division to have success in now.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
I mean, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh are tough football teams, and they've been able to thrive. I mean, you look at John Harbaugh, 6 playoff berths in his first 8 seasons. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. You left out the Browns.
Intentionally so. Yeah, the Browns are a mess.
I know, absolutely.
I left the Browns out on purpose.
I mean, you did, yeah.
And, you know, but I got a lot of respect for John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I like the way he coaches. I like the way that he prepares his team. I like the way he handles the media. He is not Bill Belichick, and he's not, you know, super friendly. He's got a little bit of a personality. I like the guy. I think he's way better than his brother, Jim.
Yeah, his brother is a little out there sometimes.
Yeah,
a little cocky.
Jim can be a pain in the rear end.
Yeah.
But John, I think, is more even-keeled, and the job that he did on their Super Bowl run, I think, was just fantastic.
A few notes about Sunday's game. Some fan information sent out by the Jaguars earlier this week. It's Play 60 Challenge weekend here at Everbank Field. There'll be a game at halftime with some of the younger kids. And let's see. New routes around Daly's Place. The construction on the south end of the end zone has shut down the escalators on that end, so there are alternate routes to get to the south end general bowl. Gates 1 and 4 use the ramps there to get up there. The elevators are open. The escalators are closed for the rest of the year. It's also for you, Jeff, Pokemon Safari Day here at Everbank Field. Pikachu will be back. So
who?
Pikachu. Jaguars.com/Pokemon.
Is that a character?
Sure, yeah. Makes his return.
Okay.
Yeah. The second Pokemon Safari. Let's see. And, yeah, there you have it. There's some of the big notes for Sunday's game. Are you ready to pick some games?
I am ready.
We must note that last week, we didn't pick week one. I know you did. I didn't pick week one.
So we're starting week two. So you conveniently left out week one.
Left it out week one.
Okay.
So week two, we will leave out the Jaguars game every week because we're both going to pick the Jags.
Oh, we even have a graphic for this.
We've got a graphic on, if you're watching on Jaguars.com. I was 8-7 last week.
You spend all your days doing over there.
Jeff was 6-9 last week in the games. Okay. So picking straight up. So here we go. In week number three, tonight's game, the Texans at the Patriots. Who you got?
I picked against the Patriots last week, and they won. You know, so, and how in the world they can win it with Jacoby Brissett, I don't know. But I'm taking the Patriots.
I think you're nuts. I'm going Texans tonight.
Okay.
Cardinals at the Bills. This is one of your big hiccups last week when you picked the Bucs to beat the Cardinals and they got hammered.
Well, I'm not going to pick the Bills. I mean, certainly not going to pick Rex Ryan. I'm going to take the Cards.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement there. Vikings.
Don't ride my coattails.
That's okay. You're the one that's behind in the standings. Vikings at Panthers. Some distractions in Charlotte with everything going on downtown this week. All the demonstrations and rioting and such there. It sounds like as of today they're still planning on playing the game Sunday.
Yeah, that's an interesting game to pick, but I got to go with the Panthers. They're a good football team.
And they're at home, so I will take that one. But that could be an interesting watch for sure.
You're taking the Panthers again, so you're riding my coattails again.
It's okay. Broncos at the Bengals. Good game. I'm going Bengals at home. To get my pick in first.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take the Bengals.
Quit riding my coattails, Logs. Lions at Packers.
Packers.
Start of a four-game homestand for the Packers, I believe.
Yeah, they were whining about the schedule.
Why?
Packers, I don't know. They were whining about the schedule for some reason.
It was backloaded with road games, probably.
I don't know.
I'm going to go Lions just because. I don't want to hear it. Browns at Dolphins. This is easy. Dolphins for me.
Say that again.
Browns at Dolphins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dolphins all the way.
All day. Redskins at Giants in the East.
I'm going to take the Giants just because Jay Gruden's football team is not doing so good.
I think I'm with you on that one. Raiders at the Titans.
Raiders.
A couple of former Jaguar head coaches going.
And, you know, I don't like picking Jack, but I'm taking the Raiders.
I'll take the Titans at home with Exotic Smash Mouth again. They rallied last time. Niners at the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Easy.
Can't believe they let me down last week. They let us down.
They let us both down. We both picked them, and the Rams with three field goals got them. The Rams still haven't scored a touchdown this year, by the way, and they're going to Tampa
Did you hear what Fisher was doing with his football team? He took his team. Did you hear about this, Joe? Took his team into the end zone.
Oh.
And said, guys, this is where we need to be.
Oh.
I mean, would you consider that a Hoosiers moment? Right?
10 feet high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got you on that. Yeah, that's pretty funny. But the Rams, though, get to measure what's the end zone dimension in Tampa Bay. They're playing the Buccaneers. Who you got?
Taking the Bucs.
I'll go with Fisher on the road. Rams get it done, maybe.
Maybe.
The way the Bucs played last week, they might not need a touchdown
to win.
Great
confidence there, JP. I'll go with
they may not need
Rams,
a touchdown
maybe.
To win against the Bucs the way they
Who
played
are you
last
picking?
Week. I'm taking the Rams.
Okay.
Chargers at Colts.
I'm taking the Colts. No,
I'm going Chargers on that one now.
Whoa. Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts just to be different than you.
Okay, it's great. You're going to lose. Jets at the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs bounce back at home at Arrowhead. But you're a former Jet.
They got some injuries at the wide receiver position with the Jets. They still play really good defense.
Yeah, they do.
I'm gonna take the Jets.
Yes, you are. Steelers at Eagles. How about that game?
Steelers.
Oh, wow. Eagles at home. I'm on the Wentz train right now.
Are you? Are you on the Bison train?
I am.
You know, the whole state of North Dakota now has, I think, literally all, you know, what, 5,000 of them? have all bought a Carson Wentz jersey.
Yeah, how about that? I bet they have.
Which is way cool. Yeah. I mean, I think it's awesome. I mean, he is literally the pride of North Dakota now.
No doubt.
Which is, it's great.
Grew up in Bismarck, went to North Dakota State, the whole thing, and played. You know what? He played good football. Did you watch the game the other night?
He's very efficient.
Unbelievable.
He doesn't have an interception yet.
No,
right?
And he's just dropping them right on the money. Guys are dropping balls for him, but he
very
looks
great. Athletic, moves, very nice. And,
runs a little much for me, though. He's taking a little
hits.
Yeah,
he's got to learn. I mean, he's got to learn that he's got to stop taking some of those unnecessary hits. I mean, it's not to the extent that RG3 was taking them, but he's got to learn, you know, to get down or to throw it away.
Sunday night football, the Bears at the Cowboys. I'm going Dallas because Dak is on fire.
And no Jay Cutler for the Bears? Yeah, I'm taking Dallas.
Okay. And Monday night football, 10-year anniversary of the return to the Superdome for the Saints, the block punt game to open the dome after Katrina. Falcons at Saints, the rematch game from that a decade ago. I'm going to go Saints at home because everybody's going to be jacked up.
Yeah, I can't see. I think it's going to be a shootout, and I just don't see the Falcons keeping pace on the road. I don't see it.
Okay. So
and, you know, the Saints played pretty well on defense last week, too.
Yeah, they did. And that
where'd that come
game?
From? I don't know. I mean, everybody was expecting a 100-point ball game with the Giants, and it turned out to be, what, 20-something points?
That's right. Yeah, it wasn't even that. I think they were both in the teens.
That's what I'm saying, 20 combined.
Yeah.
20-something points combined.
Yeah, not after last year's game, going back and forth, up and down the field.
It was crazy last year.
Yeah.
It was like, how many touchdown passes were there?
I think Drees had like 7 or something.
Yeah, and
well,
Eli had a 5.
Yeah.
I mean, something crazy.
Okay, so there are the picks. We'll calculate my winning totals next week. So the Ravens and the Jaguars.
It's interesting how all of a sudden we got to have a graphic and we're keeping track.
It is interesting, okay. Isn't it? Since I was
How you doing in fantasy?
You told me
on game day.
We'll see what Wentz did. I don't know the score.
Now that we're keeping track. Okay. It's game on. Let's go.
It is game on. That's true. And it's game on for the Jaguars Sunday. The Baltimore Ravens in here. Got to have this game, man. 0-2 can't be 0-3, as we said, going to London. And just for a lot of different reasons around town, around the building, on the airplane Thursday night, you want to be 1-2 leaving this game.
Well, and most importantly, you know, the fans are ready for a win. And it's a home game. You know, last year you were able to get 4 of your wins at home. It would be nice to be able to have a good showing in front of the fans. You know, I thought the Green Bay game, I mean, people were staying till the very end and were excited about it. Even though it was a loss, they were excited about it. And I think that they need something to cheer about when it comes to the final score. And it's time. It is. It's time.
There haven't been enough of those positive days.
But just because it's time doesn't mean it's going to happen. Okay? I'm just saying is that this is not going to be an easy football game. The Ravens have a good football team. They are good in all 3 phases of their team.
Don't let the results against those bad teams they have fool you. That's a good team over there, right?
No.
They've beaten 2 bad teams.
And they have, but they're to be able to come back from 20 points against anybody, I don't care who it is an accomplishment. And they have all 3 phases of their game very sound, probably one of the, like I said, with Gus and with you, one of the strongest special teams in the National Football League across the board. It's not just one area. Across the board, they are good. And they don't make many mistakes, and Joe Flacco can change the game with 1 throw.
No doubt.
And he has 2 receivers now that he can do that with.
Mike Wallace can get out there, no doubt.
And so you heard Gus talking about on the Gus Bradley show about maybe a little split safety look. That's how much respect that they have for Joe Flacco and those 2 receivers with the ability of both of them to be able to go deep. Split safety means cover 2. So you got 2 safeties back.
So that means 1 less guy in the box.
That's correct.
See if they can stop the run this week, too. Well done, Jeff. We'll see if the Jags can get it done Sunday. Our thanks to Tony Buscelli, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman, for Jeff Flogman, everyone involved. This is JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening and watching on Jaguars.com. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
You got you.